You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello and welcome to another new episode of the Step Over Podcast. I am Jim Adair. With me as always is Max Rappaport. We are here to do a quick update the day before the deadline, actually, because I woke up to news this morning. Max was awake, I assume.
I was.
On the West Coast. Just to lay it out in case somehow you have any interest in listening to this podcast and don't know what we're talking about. I don't know who this imaginary person would be. But the Sixers have traded Landry Shamet, their own 2020 first round pick protected for 3 years and then becomes 2 seconds. The 2021 unprotected Heat pick, Wilson Chandler and Mike Muscala, and the 2021 and 2023 second round picks that were coming from the Pistons for Boban Marjanovic, Mike Scott, and Tobias Harris. So, Max, since you were awake when this happened, and I most certainly was not, and woke up to 12 texts, two of which just said, wake up and trade, ? Why don't you tell me what, how you found out and what your reaction was in real time?
So I was sitting on my couch. It was, I think, like 12:30-ish, if I'm remembering correctly, my time.
Sounds about right,
West Coast time. I was playing Red Dead Redemption. I was bringing the legendary bull alligator that I just hunted over to the trapper to make some shoes. And I got a call from my brother, and it was like 3 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast. So my first thought was, oh God, what's happened?
Right,
I was getting a call from him at that time. And then I picked up, and as I was picking up, I saw that he texted me, and I saw the text before he told me, and he was just like, what is going on? What are we doing? So my initial, like, I guess I was, it was confusing what was even happening, but then I think because that was the context that I was presented the trade as, what on earth are we doing? My immediate reaction was shock. When I saw that Landry Shamet and the pick were involved. And I think it took me like probably 30 seconds to feel like pretty positive about the trade. Because I love Tobias Harris. We've talked about Tobias Harris before. I think more in the context of this, like, imaginary Jimmy Butler, if you were going to swap him, like who would make sense deal.
I think in the life of this podcast, when it comes to players that had never been Sixers up to today, that, like, you know, not counting, you know, LeBron James or Kevin Durant or like superstars like that, I'd say Tobias Harris is probably top five most mentioned other players.
Yeah,
because we both like him a lot. We've talked to him. We talked to him about free agency in the past as like ideal types of players for the Sixers to have. So yeah, you can continue though.
I honestly think Tobias Harris and Boban combined might be more than any player, even if they'd like signed LeBron last summer. I think we talked about Boban and Tobias combined more than LeBron on his own.
More than
in the life of the podcast.
Most Sixers, I'd say.
Yeah.
I thought I made this trade when I saw it this morning in a fog.
I'm pretty excited about it. I think part of it too is, you know, obviously the Sixers' mindset for the last season and a half has been to compete now and make moves towards that. But it's really just this season and since the Butler trade. And I would even say the Butler trade itself didn't really fall into this category of like selling the future for now, because I think you were giving up Covington and you were giving up Saric, and, you know, whatever you think about Dario, Robert Covington is like also a win now piece, and you were just paying a one Dario Saric to upgrade him into Jimmy Butler.
Right.
This is the first time they've dealt future picks and you know, young players and tried to piece together something for real win now pieces. So it's like jarring to see that. But I think I'm excited because it means that, you know, they are a contender for the finals, like to make the finals this year, legitimately. And they might at this point be the favorite in the East, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked.
And I think we need to like look at the present a little bit more than we have. Like, I think even if this trade does hurt them in the future, even if, I mean, you hope you sign, you're able to bring back at least Tobias Harris, hopefully Jimmy Butler too. But I think you have to look at like there is real value now for the Sixers in like this season. Like, this could be the year that they make the finals.
Yeah, I think the only way, and we have some questions about the trade that I don't think really asked this question flat out, but the only way that this move and the Butler move are like utter failures is if, one, you don't win the championship this year, which I think is very, very likely that they don't win the title this year, and then they both walk. I think if you show up and, you know, make the conference finals or get close or make the finals, and like you make the conference finals and don't get swept, for example, and then you keep one of them, I think both of these trades were worth doing, right? Because say Butler walks, right? Or, you know, we still have a little bit less than 24 hours until the deadline. Who knows what's going to happen? But say they ride this out, they make the conference finals but don't make the finals, and Butler walks and they're able to maintain Harris. Players who are in free agency, now I don't know if there's anybody outside of Kevin Durant who is immediately better than Jimmy Butler is in free agency this year, but they can look at that team and say, like, I can fill that hole. I can make this team better with my presence, and we can be right there. It's immediately, you're immediately a top four team in the NBA when it comes to playoff standings, right? To chances to make the finals. So I think that's huge alone. Obviously, you want to keep at least one. If you want to keep both, that's a debate we can have over the next, you know, 6 months, which will be fun. That'll be a fun debate. It's going to be a fun remainder of the season and off season. But yeah, I mean, this is like, I understand the trepidation about giving up on Shamet, because I like Shamet a lot. I was, you know, card-carrying member of Shamet ever since draft night. So I was excited about that. But it's the same thing with Covington, I feel like. Well, not necessarily, but like, we talked about this before with the Butler trade. Like, if you were going to make a big deal for a star, Covington was always going to be involved, right? And once that trade was done, once Covington and Dario were both out, your number of valuable pieces dropped, and the ones that did have actual value became targets for other teams, right? So if a team called the Sixers and say, we want to make a deal for a near all-star level player, I feel like there's no way Shamet wasn't going to be involved, because you know, you could say that Zaire might have more potential, but Zaire is 112 pounds right now and hasn't played. Voltz is a net nothing right now. And the Miami pick, which I understand people were attached to, but maybe you have a different read on this, but from my understanding and from what it was always talked about is that pick, we acquired that pick never intending to use it in the draft. That was always going to be a trade piece. Now, you hope that picks are weird, especially when they're unprotected and they're a couple of years away, where, you know, Miami can completely collapse and fall apart and that turns into a top 1, 2, 3 pick. But, you know, right now you have the weight of that as an option, but you also have the chance where you want to get rid of it, because, like, who knows? They could turn it around. They can do a couple of key pieces and all of a sudden it's barely a lottery pick the way the Kings are this year, right? You see that right now. So I think it's, you know, people saying it's an overpay, and if it's a pure rental and they don't go anywhere this year, then yeah, it's an overpay. But on face value, I think it's a very good deal for the Sixers.
Yeah, I think just specifically about the Miami pick, I think that pick has been, and I'm kind of surprised because I don't think it's just Sixers fans. Like, I was listening to the Woj and Lowe draft show or whatever right before we went on, and they referred to it as the most valuable asset in the, like, pick asset in the league right now. Mm-hmm. And probably, if you discount, like, the Knicks' current first-round pick, it's probably more valuable than that. But, you know, if you're talking about owned by other teams, it's like, I don't know if I really believe that. Like, you know, the high school age got pushed. You know, there was a thought that was going to happen for the 2021 draft, which would obviously make that more valuable. It looks like that'll actually happen in 2022. There's also the fact that it's Miami. Like, if this were a similar pick from a team in a similar position and that team were the Orlando Magic, I would feel better. It's the Miami Heat. And, you know, I don't think that they're going to be, you know, a top playoff team by that point. But they could certainly be 500. They could certainly do what the Kings have done this year. So I guess I look at it and I'm actually most upset about giving up Shamet more than the pick, even though the pick is you know, objectively more valuable. I'm kind of happy that, you know, this is silver lining stuff, but I am kind of happy that we don't have to watch the Miami Heat go out and sign a bunch of middling, you know, free agents that summer before and feel shitty about it, because it sucks. Like the imagine if the Sixers had the Kings pick right now, how pissed we'd be that they're 28 and 25, right, when the preseason projections had them last in the power rankings. Like you just never know. I going back to, I guess, what you were saying about the trade itself though, I agree that I think bringing back Tobias Harris is the thing. Like, you can't give up this future value. He's 26. I think he's right now not as good as Jimmy Butler is as a player, but I feel much better about throwing a bunch of money at Tobias Harris than I do throwing that same money at Jimmy Butler, just because I think Tobias Harris will be more valuable over the length of that contract than Jimmy Butler. And I think he fits better with Embiid and Simmons, and is easier to build around. The thing that we should talk about, unless you have something else you wanted to add, I think it's really interesting what this allows them to do, and Derek Bodner broke it down really well in one of his articles today about what they can do in free agency now. Keeping Tobias Harris because he has a low cap hold, waiting to sign him last, and if Jimmy walks or you trade him in the next 24 hours, or you plan on bringing him back but try to sign some other guys first, if you know, if you think you can get Kyrie or Kawhi or whatever, that they have the ability at this point, depending on what they do with Fultz, to offer a full max in addition to Simmons, Embiid, and Tobias Harris on the roster if you just let Jimmy walk or trade him.
Yeah, and that's huge, because, you know, with this deal, I think the first idea was that, like, all right, well, you know, the days of adding a max guy are now over, which, if you keep them all, then yeah. But, yeah, that's huge. And, you know, the Phillies, who have, you know, baseball free agency is absolutely bonkers and nothing's happening, but John Middleton said about going out and getting Machado or Harper or both, that the Phillies are willing to spend stupid money, and it seems like the Sixers are actually willing to do that. Apparently, I'm not a season ticket holder, so I didn't get the email, but apparently after the trade was announced today, they upped prices. And so I'm not going to worry about Elton Brand spending Josh Harris's money. That's not my concern. Yeah. I don't care about them going into the tax. I don't care about any of that stuff. That is not my concern. I don't have to balance their checkbook. So if they're willing to spend it, then I am all on board with them spending it, put it that way. Now, we do have a bunch of questions that are all just about the trade. And we want to keep it relatively short today, so you want to just dive right into these here?
Let's do it.
All right.
The sooner we finish the pod, the sooner they'll trade Markel Fultz.
That's very true. We can get to that in just 1 second, because there's a question about that. Chris Minara at Topher4 asked, any buyout candidates you would like to see the Sixers target? Now, as we were talking, Woj and Lowe were just on TV, and it seems like Wayne Ellington is going to be a buyout, which is an opportunity there. Wes Matthews is being talked about. They're the two biggest names I'm seeing right now that would work with this team. But again, you know, we have the deadlines tomorrow, and then you have the 48 hours after that, which is really when all the other stuff happens. Mm-hmm. So, I think either one of those two guys would be a great addition. But I think I'd be happy with either, but, for the rest of it, I think you'll see some surprises and some other things, but, personally, I'm all on board with going after one or both of those guys.
Yeah, I would love to get both. I mean, I think probably my ideal is getting Wes Matthews. I think Wayne Ellington's great, though. If you could get him, I wish both those guys played different positions. But
I know.
I do think getting Boban actually really limits. We've talked specifically about the Sixers needing just like a big ass body. And
they went and got the biggest one.
They're the biggest ass body in the league. Yeah, Boban Marjanovic. So I think they're pretty set there. I mean, it'd be nice to get, you know, I think the need for someone like Dwayne Dedman probably isn't there, but if you get someone who's like a 4 or 5, maybe can shoot a little bit, I'm describing Mike Muscala right now, who I'm very happy I don't have to watch play for the Sixers anymore. It's so fucking frustrating. But you know, maybe Amir Johnson could be that guy. I'm just thinking about, like, if Embiid missed a few games, you're not, I mean, I guess you start Boban at that point, but yeah, they could also do some interesting things with, you know, their lineup's so big, they could probably just play a small lineup without him. But I think the real need at this point is, like, an improvement at point guard, backup point guard. That's assuming Fultz is either not on the team or not going to play or not part of the rotation.
Non-functional,
and a wing. And if that wing is Wes Matthews or Wayne Ellington, I think that's awesome. So I would say, in addition to that, if you could get, like, a stretch big, and, you know, I don't know who that point guard is. I'd love, like, I don't think you're going to get Jeremy Lin, because I think they're trying to trade him. But if you could get someone like Jeremy Lin, if he got bought out, that would be perfect.
Yeah. Fernando, Jedi Fernando 57 asked, if the Rockets came to you with four firsts for Butler, would you do it? Jeopardizing this season future. And I looked at it, and I wouldn't. Solely because you got to think, if you trade Jimmy Butler to Houston, then they're probably going to try to keep him around long term. Houston currently owns nobody's first round pick except for their own. So if you're trading into Houston, you're giving him to a team that has, at the very least, most likely for the next, for the years that the picks would be involved, at least two of the four picks, you're trying to get a first round pick off of a team that has James Harden and Jimmy Butler. And those are not going to be very good picks. And I have no illusions about Houston somehow falling apart and bottoming out and stuff like that. So I think they'd just be four very bad picks. You can always package them into something to get, like, move up a little bit, but I just don't think those picks have very much value.
Agreed. Unless they own, I haven't looked at their owed picks, but if they own the rights to anyone else's pick that seems valuable, they don't. Yeah, no. I don't really have any interest in that. Also, I think if I was going to trade Butler, it would be for an expiring now of similar value, not of similar value in terms of player, but someone who is helpful, useful this season, someone like a Wes Matthews, if he were on the Rockets, right? Like someone who's making more money than they should, but is, like, actually of some value to the Sixers this season, and then picks that, like, might turn into something, or young players on smaller deals, like a John Collins kind of player from the from the Hawks. But yeah, just a bunch of picks with nothing else back doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
At badname1234, again, great handles all around, asked, would Orlando do a Fultz for Ross deal? Maybe add that second round pick we got from Toronto. Right before we came on to Woj and Lowe, were basically, from what I hear on Twitter at least, we're talking like Markelle Fultz at Sixers days are over. They mentioned Orlando and I think Atlanta as teams that have been talking to the Sixers about him. I like Terrence Ross. I've liked Terrence Ross for a very long time. And that is because, I looked it up today, Terrence Ross is a 37% career three-point shooter, 48% against the Sixers.
Jesus Christ.
Just for the sole fact that you won't have to face him in the playoffs, no matter where he ends up, I would take Terrence Ross on the Sixers.
I feel like it's the same thing. It's a Boban and Wayne Ellington. I feel like Wayne Ellington kicks our ass, too.
Yeah.
It's like if you could, and Tobias Harris killed us earlier this year. He's just smoked us. So, like, yeah, I always love getting guys who, if we could get, is it Jeremy Pargo? Is that, who was it who just, like, kicked our ass every time? Some, like, you know, forgettable point guard.
Yeah, I mean, it's any forgettable point guard. Ish Smith always kicks our ass.
No, go ahead. Yeah, so I was going to say that, you know, I'm less interested in a Terrence Ross trade just because I think between Ellington and Wes Matthews, I'm fairly confident they're going to get one of those two guys potentially. Mm-hmm. So if they can do that, I just don't think it's worth going out and getting another pure shooting guard and trading anything of value for that if you think you can get one for free. And I think he's worse than those two players.
Yeah, I agree. Booby Styles asked, how would you guys feel about a Sixers team with Tobias Harris as a third option and magically undone Butler trade? I mean, I'm not going to say he's a better player, but I like Tobias Harris more, so I would be fine with that. However, I think if that was the case, just knowing what we know about what Elton Brand is doing and has done, I don't think that Dario especially would be long for this team after this year anyway. So anything magically undoing that trade doesn't magically undo Elton thinking about moving guys. So
yeah,
I know that's kind of cheating the answer, but that's how I feel.
I would magically, if this were possible, this isn't the question, I would love to take some combination of what they gave up for Jimmy Butler and what they gave up for Tobias Harris. Like maybe it's Dario and Covington plus that Miami pick, and you keep Shamit or something and get just Tobias. Like that's maybe what I'm interested in. But if you're just talking about being able to get Dario and Covington back, I think with Tobias Harris on the roster, I don't know. They're different players, Covington and Harris, but I think Harris gives you a lot of the spot up shooting and length and all that and switchability. And I think Dario has been a disappointment this season, and I think his value's dropped a lot. So I don't even know if you'd get as much for him in the future or like how much he'd really be contributing.
Yeah. Gustavo Vaselli asked, if the Sixers won last night, do you think the Sixers pull the trigger on Harris? I say yeah, solely because, it's very unlikely that the trade came together in the 2.5 hours between the end of the game and when the trade happened.
So you don't believe that it was that fan bullying Elton Brand from the crowd telling him to make a trade?
No. And I also, it's just that you're going to, if the idea is that Toronto is in your way, right, which they are, one win against them doesn't do anything because you've still lost to them this year. And one win last night would have made you 1-12 career against Kawhi Leonard. So that one win doesn't do a ton. So I think it's definitely done. And I would like to. Yeah.
It came out too. I forget if this was from like Pompey's reporting or somebody tweeted it, but where apparently the deal had been in the works for, I think, like 3 or 4 months, like basically since the start of the season. I think it may be even predating the Jimmy Butler trade.
Yeah.
But at least around the Jimmy Butler trade.
I got a couple more. I know we're trying to end it. Well, you have a hard out, but.
Give some time.
At Philly AJZ, Adam asked, could the Sixers sign Wilson Chandler if he is bought out, or is there a rule against that? The answer is, there is a rule against that. I looked it up because I knew it was, I knew you couldn't do that, but I didn't know what the actual rule was. And essentially, it's for collusion purposes. I believe it was Jerry Stackhouse's fault because there was a story about him being involved in a trade just to match salaries and then being like, I'm just going to have 30 days off because it used to be you get traded, get bought out, you can sign back with the other team 30 days later. But the only way they could re-sign Wilson Chandler is if now he were traded to someone else and then bought out. Otherwise, since it's in the middle of the season, they cannot re-sign him until off-season. And if you make a trade in the off-season, the same rule applies until the next off-season, just so everyone is aware.
Yeah.
It's one of the many rules in the 600-plus page CBA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably a good rule too, because teams would really just spam that, where they would swap two players of similar value, and then they just was it Derek Fisher who that happened to, where he just like I feel like that happened to him like a few times, or there's something weird with Derek Fisher's
thing. It was Jason Kidd, maybe.
Jason Kidd.
Yeah. And there was the version of this which they call it the Payton rule as well. The earlier version of this would basically just get bought out and go back to the same team. Ian Collis asked, is there a player with a bigger chip on their shoulder than Amir Przelik, traded 7 times before even stepping on an NBA court?
How many times has he been traded?
7.
Wow.
His rights, yeah.
How old is he?
He's 31. He's coming over, baby. I looked it up. He has, let me see if I can find my tweet that I made about it. Give me 1 second. Because before
that he looks like a who he looks like a combination of.
No, not that. Not even that one. Okay. Here it was.
It was John Gonzalez and Mike Levin, which he does look exactly like that.
So before he was even drafted, the pick was traded a couple of times. So the pick that became him and then his foreign rights have been owned by, in reverse order, Sixers, Raptors, Pacers, Mavericks, Wizards, Cavaliers, Suns, Magic, and your Seattle Supersonics. So, wow. He's just got a couple more trades, and he can be technically a member of half of the league. That'd be great for him. Just, I don't know, on a plaque somewhere, maybe. Yeah. I tried to sort these out by not liking tweets that weren't questions, and then I got distracted and liked a bunch of tweets that were questions.
That's what I always do, yeah.
Yeah, like I liked your tweet of a picture of President Franklin Pierce. That was a good one. Let me see here.
I was gonna change topics to talk about Franklin Pierce, but go ahead. Keep okay. on topic.
Here's one that's not a question, but I want to get your input on it. So Darian, who we both know on Twitter at dmay706, tweeted, "Yeah, I think it's time. I'm ready to transcend into delusional fan. Do you think it is delusional fan time? Just yet."
Delusional fan time, as in like we. I think we're going to sign KD this summer.
I think going to win the chip, sign everybody,
Fultz become is coming a dynasty, back. He's gonna, yeah,
everything,
yeah.
Everything.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, yeah,
it's delusional fan time. It's time. Yeah, yeah.
This is the, or welcome to the moment.
Yeah, this is, it's finally the moment, everybody. In years in the making, and it's just, it feels so good that it is finally the moment. It's just great. We lived for this. We've been waiting for this for so long. All those graphics with Michael Carter Williams. I think Henry Simmons might have been on one at one point. We watched Alexei Sved play basketball to get to this moment. The moment itself.
There was a wild tweet. I forget who it was. I retweeted it. But someone earlier today, I'll pull it up. Yeah, it was Jake Hyman. Tweeted the Sixers starting lineup from February 8th, 2017. So just 2 years ago.
The starting
lineup 2 years ago was T.J. McConnell, Gerald Henderson, Robert Covington, Ersan Ilyasova, and Jahlil Okafor.
Yeah.
The projected starting lineup the same date 2 years from then, which is tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. Ben Simmons, J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris, Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
Trust the damn process.
Yeah. I mean, this is a good day. And who knows what happens tomorrow. But this is a very good day. I'm having a lot of enjoyment. I walked to work very quickly today without even realizing it. Left my apartment later than usual. Got to work 10 minutes earlier than I usually do.
Wow.
Shaved some real time off that walk.
Skipping your step.
Whew, no idea how. Listened to King of Wishful Thinking on repeat for a good 25 minutes. I was having a great morning.
We have any other questions?
No, I think that's pretty much all I got.
Well, you know, we didn't really talk... I hate to end on a sour note. We didn't really talk about Markelle Fultz.
No, we didn't.
Who will most certainly be traded in the next... Well, when are you going to post this podcast? In like an hour or two? So probably
I'm posting 10 this minutes podcast after that. I'm posting this in 4 days.
Yeah.
Just so the trade doesn't happen. I'm holding it out till after the deadline.
Well, how do you... At this point, does it change your calculus? I guess is maybe this is the angle we can talk about because we've talked this to death. Because it does for me. But I'm curious for you if the addition of Tobias Harris, this flexibility that they now have of being able to let Jimmy Butler walk potentially in free agency or at least explore other options, knowing that if Markelle Fultz is not on the books or if they're able to deal him next summer, which I think they would be able to if they just wanted to give him a way to free up the space, you would be able to sign any max level player, the full max, 10 plus years, you know, of experience. You have without Jimmy Butler, you have $30 million to spend next summer. That's not including Jimmy Butler. Without Markelle Fultz, you have almost 40. You have like 39.8.
Yeah.
So enough to do a max deal. So I guess the question is, does that change your calculation for what you hope they do with Markelle Fultz at this deadline?
I don't know.
Or next summer if he hasn't played.
I didn't even really think about what my hopes were for Fultz's deadline anyway, because as we talked in the last pod like 2 days ago, when I said like I just imagine a bunch of small moves and no big moves, and we got a big move immediately because this podcast is a goddamn curse. But yeah, so I didn't really have time to think about what I expect from Fultz out of this deadline. But I think right now, looking at this team they're constructing, I would say now is probably the time to move him. But at the same time, I don't know what his value is. So like, if you move him now, like, what are you even getting back? However, unless he comes back, is his college self with the team being win now, pay all these guys, go for it. He's not worth the money that he's on the books for next year on this roster. For somebody else, I'm sure he is, but I just don't think to this team he is. So I put it this way: if this Tobias Harris trade didn't happen, and even if the Butler trade didn't happen, and they traded Fultz at the deadline, I'd be like 15% surprised. That number is now at like 2.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked.
I think you'd also be more okay with it, right? Like,
yeah, oh,
like
for
a
sure.
A trade where you're getting, where you're giving up Markel Fultz and bringing back, you know, Prince from the Hawks and like a pick or, you know, whatever it is, yeah, like, is more acceptable if you think you have a chance to make the finals this year. And yeah, the difference between Fultz and a player that you're getting back in a trade in addition to some future value is going to actually make you better right now. So I think that matters more now.
Yeah, the deals you have made have now, for better or worse, made it so that the team's timeline no longer lines up with Markel Fultz's timeline.
Yeah.
So, and like yeah, keeping him would be, it would behoove them to keep him just to see what he turns into if he wasn't on the books for a number one overall pick salary. Because then you're coming, if you're gunning for the finals or for a championship, you could use that $8.5 to $10 million.
That's the reality, who
comes in and plays like that, or even if you overpay somebody a little bit, because right now Markel Fultz is not playing, so that's a $0 evaluation on what he's doing, and for that reason, I'm out.
Well, that's the reality of it too, is like, you look at their roster now that they don't have Chandler, they don't have Muscala on the books. Other than J.J. Redick, who I think is worth his contract and who you need, you can't just, I don't think they should deal him unless you were packaging him with Fultz to get, you know, another star or something, which I don't think will happen. But unless you were doing something like that, you don't really have any other flexibility. And J.J. Redick's off the books. Once we get past Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, there is no ability to use his contract to bring anything back. So Fultz is really the only flexibility you have, because you're not trading Embiid, you're not trading Simmons. Everyone else other than Harris and Jimmy Butler are making $3 million or less. So, you know, he's your last piece, which maybe is an argument for keeping him, seeing if he turns into something at the end of the year or how he looks over the summer. And then if you get to July and you're like, we have the flexibility or the ability to like go sign Kyrie if we just move Fultz's contract, maybe you do that and you let Jimmy walk and you go, you know, I think there's I'm definitely totally fine with the sunk cost of whatever you gave up for Jimmy Butler. If someone else who you think is better or a better fit is available in free agency, go do that instead. Like, at this point, it doesn't matter what you gave up for Jimmy Butler. You were just looking at the $30 million you have to spend, or 39 if they get rid of Fultz, to spend this summer, and how can you best spend that moving forward. And if that's Jimmy Butler, great. If it's someone other than Jimmy Butler, that's also great.
Yep. No, I agree. I think that's all we got. One last piece of important basketball news before we get off. Steve Blake has joined the Big Three draft pool, everyone. So
wow.
if you miss some Steve Blake in your life.
Was that a Woj bomb?
No, it was
Woj tweet that.
It's the Big Three's pinned tweet.
The biggest fake out Woj alert.
Yeah,
I love when Woj retweets like random bullshit about like high school basketball.
Look,
on trade deadline day.
I know this is like rude as hell to say, because I just like, I don't give a shit about his podcast, man. Stop telling me about it when I'm waiting for trade news. Don't retweet people talking about a trade you just tweeted. I got alerts on, Woj. God. Also, a lot of people fell for a fake Shams yesterday. That's what tweet alerts are for. Put them on for Woj and Shams. You won't get fooled by a fake person anymore.
I don't know how anyone gets fooled by a fake person in 2019.
Yeah, I know.
I guess it's like if you see it quote tweeted and the person who quote tweets it's legit. But like, how does that first person get punked?
Never trust a quote tweeter, man. Never. Like every time there's a trade deadline or free agency time, someone's quote tweeting shit from 4 years ago, trying to trick you into thinking it's happening now. Never trust a quote tweeter. And that's your lesson for today. So I think that's all we got. Is that cool, Max?
Yeah, and I think we might be back tomorrow or Friday if something crazy happens.
I mean,
we'll probably do something soon after Harris's first game. We'll do something that weekend or early next week to talk about how that's going. I think maybe sooner if they do something big.
Yeah, at the very least, we'll be back early to mid next week, maybe as soon as 20 some hours from now. Who knows? But thanks for listening as always, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, see ya.